This is from Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Do you know that you have all kinds of systems? Like the neurological system? It's pretty amazing what's going on inside of your body right now, and it's a system. It's just working. And you don't need help from my neurological system for your neurological system to work. Right? You have a full neurological system. And now let's talk about your lymphatic system. How many of you have a fully operating, functioning lymphatic system so I don't have to help you? Raise your hand. Everybody should raise their hand. Your lymphatic system is working fine without any help from me. Now, you also have a circulatory system, right? How's it working? I mean, isn't it amazing to think about all the systems that are working inside of you right now? And they're full and they're functioning and you don't need help. How about your digestive system? How many of you have a full functioning digestive system? Just checking. How many of you have a fully functioning operating without any need reproduction system? No, you don't, right? You only have half of a reproduction system, right? For your reproductive system to work, you need someone else's reproductive system, right? But here's the bad news. Well, we don't need to talk about that today, right? We've had those talks recently. But here's the bad news. You have, all by yourself, a fully functioning sinful reproductive system. Hate to break the news to you, but you do. You don't need anybody else's help. You don't even need the devil to help you. It's something that you have all by yourself. We call it, theologically speaking, concupiscence. Everybody say it. Concupiscence. What a word, huh? This is your problem, and this is my problem. It's like spiritual gravity. We have concupiscence. It's amazing what we can do with our fully functioning, operating all by itself, concupiscence. Now, others can get involved, and so can the devil. He can be in the details, but this, you and I have to own all by ourselves. We heard about it earlier when we heard about James and what he wanted us to understand. He says it this way, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own concupiscence." Can't blame it on anybody else. It's my problem, all by myself. It's your problem, all by yourself. And here's how it works. When it has conceived, gives birth to sin. So how many little baby sins has your concupiscence conceived. How many of your little baby sins have grown up to be full-blown adult baby sins or sins? I mean, how many sinful offspring have you anyway? Like, God only knows. Can we say that desire is a womb within men and women? Gosh, that sounds kind of strange. But we can conceive all kinds of sins, and after a while, they're not babies anymore. How many ways has sin filled your life? How many ways has sin filled my life? God only knows. But this is the truth about this system that operates inside of you and me. And certainly, we can show up and mess with each other's concupiscence, right? The devil is also in the details, and he can also mess with our concupiscence, but it's still our concupiscence. There's no one else to blame for all my sin and my sinfulness but me. And when I try to blame it on other people, it's just my concupiscence running away with me. And the same for you. But here's the good news. There's a cure for all of our and any of our concupiscence. And this is what gives us joy and peace and hope. This is how we can say goodbye to all the things, the little baby sins that have grown up and still want to mess with us in our life. It is Jesus and what he's done. Do not be deceived, James says, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. By the word of truth, Jesus. Though by all of our sinful offspring we deserve death, God came to deliver us in his flesh and blood. And for all the ways that you and I have conceived all kinds of baby sins in our concupiscence, in our desires, Jesus didn't. From his very conception into what we see today, the beginning of his public ministry at the beginning of Mark's gospel, he was right on. He was thinking in holy ways, all the ways. And he was speaking in holy ways, all the ways. And carrying out rescue mission work in every way. You know, we talk about guarding our hearts, for out of them spring the issues of life. And we realize how hard that is because of concupiscence, because of our sinful desires that just are like a spiritual gravity that pull us in all kinds of places. I mean, we don't even have to work hard with it. It just pulls us. But Jesus, he stayed out of the weeds. He stayed away from all the pitfalls and the stumbling blocks and everything. He guarded his heart. He kept himself pure and straight. And yes, the devil can get into the details of our concupiscence, and certainly the devil got into his details, but it didn't work that time. We got all messed up in the Garden of Eden. But when Jesus in the desert for 40 days faced the devil, and it wouldn't be the last time the devil would show up, he would be hounded by the devil all along, and yet he would be faithful to the very end. He would do life perfectly. And then he would take our place. Boy, the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son that you love, like rub it in and sacrifice him. We know how it ended. God delivered them, but there was a father. who had a son, his only son, the son that he loved. And he would let the cross kill him. And in that place, in that exchange, the cure would flow to you and me, and it is ours. Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, who is the cure for us. Not only the cure for us, the one where all of our sin and all of the ways that we have fallen short and all the ways we want to beat ourselves up, all that stuff sticks to him. Let it stick. Gosh, if we're carrying stuff even today, let it stick. Let it stick to him, because that's where it does. Leave it with him. Whatever it is. But then also take comfort in this. Jesus knows what it's like to live in our skin. He knows what it's like to walk in our shoes. In fact, we're told this by Paul. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Now, you and I, realizing the cure in Christ, and there's a place where all of our concupiscence can stick, and it sticks to Jesus, we start understanding that in this world filled with temptation, in your life and my life, no matter where we're at, no matter what's going on, we know that God can help us and that we can endure. And even in that time of temptation, he is training us to say no to ungodliness and yes to faithfulness. He is there to help us. Even more to the point, in Hebrews chapter 4, we hear this about Jesus. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But one, this high priest, who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." It's hard for us to grasp how Jesus could have been tempted just the way as we are every way. Lusting and greed and fear and homosexuality and you name it. But he was. And he knows the struggle that you and I are in. And he can help us like no one else can. He is our high priest. He can care for us. It's nice to know that there is someone who can help us like no one else can. What a gift it is to know that there's an end to our concupiscence and that Jesus is the one where all of our sins stick. Trust also that he's working all things together for good in your life. There again, that can be so hard for us to receive, but receive it in the name of Jesus. Trust that he's at work making wonderful things in your life and in the lives of those around you through you. In truth, that's what God's will is for each of you, to be a gift to those around you by God's design. And trust that he's at work in your heart doing good things, because there's more than just concupiscence in you and me. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And what God has for you, he has given you through his Son, that his love may flow through you and be a blessing to others. In fact, expect great things from Jesus to you. And expect great things from Jesus through you. Man, you have a lot of systems that are working right now as we speak. And yes, you have that system called concupiscence. But to that, there's another system. And it's one designed by God. It's God's blood. It's his faithfulness. It's His Spirit. And God is at work in you and me. And that's a system that takes care of business because it's operated by God within us. So let that bless you. And may Jesus, the cure for our concupiscence, give you reason to be filled with joy. In the name of Jesus, happy Lent. Amen.